This is Defender Radio. I'm Michael Howie, and this is Defender Radio, the podcast for wildlife advocates and animal lovers, brought to you by the Fur Bears. If you don't already have passes to Humane Canada Summit for the Animals, running May 5th to 7th in Halifax this year, you might miss out on an awful lot. This annual event is organized by Humane Canada, the National Federation of Humane Societies and SPCAs, and presenting sponsor PetSmart Charities of Canada. The Summit for Animals brings together people who work on the front lines of animal welfare, the folks who strategize behind the scenes, people who run shelters, and those who seek legislative policy shifts. It's the place to be for animal advocates, and to share more about what this year's conference will include, Defender Radio was joined by Humane Canada's Natalia Hansen. Let's begin by talking about, before we get into the Summit for Animals, let's talk about Humane Canada. Could you share a bit about what Humane Canada is as an organization and what they do?
Absolutely. So Humane Canada, we are the Federation of Humane Societies and SPCAs in our country. We are the convener of animal welfare. So we bring together the sector and we advocate for animals at the federal level to help pass stronger legislation that protects animals.
And from that, there is also this large event. It's been going on for a few years now, I believe. Could you share a bit maybe about sort of the origin of the summit and where we're headed now?
Yeah, the Summit for Animals, it was previously known as the National Animal Welfare Conference, and it is our premier conference because we host a couple every year, but this one is kind of like the landmark conference by Humane Canada, and it started back in 2014. And the goal of it was to bring together the animal welfare sector. Back then, the first conference was held in Toronto, 2014, and I think we had under 200 people. So it was very small. It was just the beginning. Our majority of audience were people from humane societies, SPCAs, like very hands-on animal care. And then through the years, we've seen the evolution. We've more than doubled the attendance. We have people from all spectrum of animal welfare sector. We still have absolutely humane society, SPCAs, rescues, but we have people from the advocacy sector, for example, the fur bearers. We have policymakers. Mm-hmm. We have people who are researching the human-animal bond. So it's really neat to see how we've brought in more people and from other areas of animal welfare. Really cool. Yeah. So this year we are going to Halifax, Nova Scotia. It's going to be our first yes. time on the East Coast. So another cool thing about the conference is that every year we go to a different city in Canada. We've been in Toronto twice. We've been Ottawa. We've been on the West Coast. Last year we were in Victoria. We've done Alberta. But this is our first time going to the East. So we're super excited. And yeah, it's happening May 5th, 6th, and 7th. Registration is still open, and we want everybody to come.
Yeah, it's always a good time. And it's more than just speakers, though. There are learning labs. So could you share a bit about what that is?
Yeah, absolutely. So learning labs is an optional day. So it's happening on May the 5th. It requires additional registration. And what the learning labs day is a more intimate kind of setting, smaller sessions, more kind of hands-on workshops. And we have five different educational streams. So we have animal care and behavior, enforcement, leadership, tackling fatigue and building resilience, and volunteer management and engagement. So people register for one of these streams of learning and they attend the sessions happening within that stream for that entire day. Sessions go from 8 a.m. until about 3 p.m. So it's a shorter day. And like I said, it's a more intimate setting. So it's an opportunity for people to learn more about one of these five topics in more of a hands-on way. So those are the learning labs. And like I said, they require additional registration, but it's at a very affordable fee and registration for that's still open for sure.
Awesome. And I really like the idea that you're covering off the idea of resilience within this workspace or the sector, because it's something that we do talk about a bit, I feel, just sort of generally that, you know, there is a lot of burnout, there is a lot of high pressure, There is a lot of direct and indirect or secondary trauma that is experienced by people in this industry. But I'm also curious if you can speak at all to this being sort of an inclusive thing, because as you said, it is humane societies and a lot of folks who maybe work one-on-one with animals, but there is still that connection for many people, myself included. I don't do one-on-one, but I am often spending a lot of time looking at those stories and engaging in that information. And I am aware personally and from others I've heard that there can be a little bit of a, well, I'm not on the front line, so it's not for me. I don't need the assistance with resilience or mental health or supports because I'm not one-on-one in the trenches dealing with this. But I imagine that this event is going to be more inclusive to try and maybe get past some of that stigma.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, Mike. Like I said, at the beginning of the conference, way back in 2014, sure, the majority of people we saw were those working in the front line. So working in adoptions, in animal care, kind of at that shelter setting, rescuing, which, by the way, a huge shout out to those people, because that is a very emotionally exhausting job. And my respect goes out to everybody who is involved at that level with animal welfare.
For sure.
But we also have sessions on other subjects that are maybe more applicable to people who are in another area of animal welfare. We have learning educational topic called Build and Innovate. So for example, we have some sessions on fundraising and marketing, because a lot of us are non-for-profits. So we rely on raising money from the public. So we're going to talk about what does the landscape of fundraising look like right now? How do we appeal to the younger generation now when it comes to marketing? For example, how can we tell our story to attract new donors and keep them engaged? We have sessions as well on outreach and integration. So nowadays, as you probably know, a big trend in animal welfare is the human-animal bond and that connection and helping people keep their pets instead of ostracizing them and instead of taking their pets away and saying, well, you can't afford food for Fluffy. Well, we're going to take Fluffy away from you and give it to a family who can't afford food. No. Instead, is how can we support you to feed Fluffy for this month until you get back on your feet, for example. So we have some sessions on pet pantries, for instance, on how to include diversity, equity, and inclusion in your mission, in your day-to-day operations. So yeah, there's a big variety of sessions and learning topics. We have 10 educational topics in total, and they appeal to people from entry-level positions, from the front lines, to people in higher-level positions, CEOs, executive directors, managers, everything in between. And you don't even have to be working in the field, actually, because we have people who are volunteers. They don't have like a job per se, but they are people who say, you know what? I'm just really into animal welfare. And I sign all the petitions that I get in my email inbox, ask the government to do this, ask the government to ban that, ask the government to pass whatever law. And they attend because they want to learn. They want to stay updated on what's going on in the sector and meet people, like-minded people as well.
Well, speaking of staying updated, I noticed that there is a note here that if people are needing assistance in offsetting costs related to the events, that there may be some opportunities for grants and so on, and that they can sign up to get in touch with everyone and hear more about that as it goes.
Yeah, so I encourage people to sign up for our emails, because we do post things on social media, but as you know, social media it's noisy, it's competitive. There's a lot when we open up our Facebook, our Instagram, Twitter. We're bombarded by so much that people can miss our very important announcements. So the best way to find out about future granting opportunities is through our email list. And they can find that link through the Humane Canada Summit for Animals website, which is humanecanada.ca/summit, S-U-M-M-I-T. So we have actually, I believe it's since 2019, we've had the largest number of grants available this year. And even though the conference is happening soon, we still continuously engage for more granting opportunities and more ways to help people afford the costs, because we are aware that attending a conference represents a high cost. Not just the registration, but sometimes flights, taking time off from work. So we want to make it accessible for everybody.
Let's hear about some of the optional activities you have this year.
Yes, awesome. Okay. So one of the things that we noticed is that there are a few people, not a few, A few hundred, let's say, maybe, people who come by themselves and for the first time to the conference. And I know that being in a conference setting with 400 people could be intimidating and it could be overwhelming, especially if some of these people are more on the introverted side. And we want them to feel included. So one really cool thing that we're implementing this year is something called the Buddy Bench. So this is literally a bench at the conference venue. And anyone who's sitting there is inviting someone else to approach them and sit next to them and strike up a conversation. So it's like a nicer way for people to meet other people, less intimidating than coming up to a group of people, hi, nice to meet you, and maybe interrupting their conversation. And that could be awkward, you know? So that's something new that we're trying this year. We also love to give away prizes. So we have a step challenge this year. So literally every step you take, you're walking from the session room to the exhibit hall and then to the bathroom and then to whatever, that's going to count towards points. So the people at the end of the conference who have the highest level of points through steps are going to get some cool prizes. We have, well, the Nova Scotia SPCA is hosting a shelter tour. And we know that one of the things that people really like about our conference is having that opportunity to go to other shelters and see how they operate, what does their shelter look like, and take something away and maybe bring it back home. So that's another thing that's happening. We have a night owl social happening on Sunday, May the 5th. So it's a very nice informal way to kick things off and get people to meet one another before we officially start the conference on May 6th. We have a wiggle walk. So something that we're doing this year for the first time again. We're doing a walk on the morning of May 6th and May 7th, and we're taking our conference attendees to a Halifax landmark. So one day we're going to Citadel Hill, and then the other day we're going to the harbor front. And that's just optional. It's a nice way to, you know, go for a nice, crisp morning walk before session start and be able to chat with other conference attendees and pick their brains. And we've heard that a lot of people get a lot of insights and valuable information from those one-off conversations that they have outside of sessions.
Yeah. And it's interesting. I find it so much easier to engage with people in that casual way and strike up a curious conversation or a weird friendship when you're in a place with a person doing a thing as opposed to online in some sort of random Facebook group where you're not actually engaging, but you are. But when you're in person, it's hey, how are you doing? You look tired, or you look like you found where the coffee is. Let's chat. And what did you think of this thing that we saw at the shelter? I've never heard of that system. Like, yeah, it is so easy to engage that way. And I think now more than ever, we need more engagement together as a society. So I think that's really lovely to hear. And I hope that people do take you up on that, because I went to Calgary for a conference once, and I saw the city when I drove from the airport to the conference center and from the conference center to the airport. And it's a city I'd love to have been able to explore just the tiniest bit of, right? Just like, yeah, go see an old landmark. Or go to sort of the local SPCA and find out how they do things in Calgary as opposed to here in Hamilton or Vancouver or whatever. So it sounds like a lot of really fun opportunities for folks. And I hope that we see a lot show up for it.
Yes. And you know what, actually, now that you mentioned Calgary and how much you would have liked to see at least a little something, we partner with Discover Halifax. So basically anyone who attends our conference gets access to some exclusive deals. So some are for experiences, some are for souvenirs, for activities. So really cool. All they have to do is find those partnering businesses around Halifax. They show their conference badge. They show, I am attending the Summit for Animals. And then they get discounts on variety of things. So it's a win-win situation for everyone.
I want to thank Natalia for joining us and all of you for listening. Remember to check out humanecanada.ca or follow the links in this week's show notes in your podcast player or at defenderradio.com to learn more about Humane Canada's Summit for Animals this spring in Halifax. Until next time, I'm Michael Howie for Defender Radio and the Fur Bears, reminding you to stay informed and stay strong.